The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. Well, the big question, what is going on in the Lone Star State? There is a battle that is taking place in Austin between Republicans and Democrats. They don't necessarily get along very well, but it's a redistricting battle. And on Sunday night, August 3rd, 50-plus House Democrats fled the state so that a vote could not be taken. You couldn't have a quorum with that many absent. And they said they were doing that to stop this redistricting vote and to protect their constituents and you know, all the stuff that they would say. They fled to Chicago to Governor Pritzker, and they fled to New York, and Governor Abbott is very upset with them, and it's just it's a big battle. So here is what J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Chicago, had to say, and then I'm going to follow that up with a recent statement by Governor Abbott.
Texas Democrats were left no choice but to leave their home state, block a vote from taking place, and protect their constituents. This is a righteous act of courage, and we can all take a page from these leaders' playbook. When you show people that you have the will to fight, well, they can muster the will to fight too.
Right.
Courage is contagious.
Muster the will to fight by fleeing. Well, this is what Governor Abbott had to say about that.
Well, Sean, first of all, Texas is doing what we are allowed to by the law. And one reason why that law exists the way that it does is because the Democrats brought a lawsuit after our last redistricting. And that decision and that lawsuit came out last year. And that lawsuit recognized that coalition districts are not required. And so Texas has a right to redraw these lines to fully represent the desires of every voter in the state. But Sean, that misses the point here. The point here is that Democrats have done something that's very un-Texan. They've turned their backs on their fellow Texans. When it came to a fight, they turned and ran away, not just from this redistricting fight, they ran away from dealing with the flooding issues that are still echoing across the Kerrville area. Families desperately need results from the state legislature in this 30-day special session that are not going to be delivered because Democrats are hanging out in Chicago and New York and other places.
All right. So is this a show of courage or a show of cowardice? Representative Jolanda Jones compared this redistricting fight to the Holocaust, where millions of Jews were mass murdered by Hitler and the Nazis. Good grief. She later had to apologize for that because it's just so outlandish. Well, to help us understand this is my friend, Texas State Senator Brian Hughes. He's a member of the Redistricting Committee and the chair of the Senate State Affairs Committee. So, Senator Hughes, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, brother. It's good to be with you.
All right. So help us understand what's going on. Where did this battle come about? And where do you think this is going to end up?
You bet. So as you know, redistricting is to make sure that the lines line up with how people are voting and to make sure that one side doesn't have an unfair advantage over the other. And it's a political process and the party in power draws the line. So, they're trying to suggest that we want to make things unfair. Let's just look at how the lines are today. In California, you may have seen these numbers. In California, Democrats get about, Harris got like 56% of the vote. So last presidential election, she got 56% of the vote. You know how many of the U.S. House seats the Democrats have in California because of the way their lines are drawn? 82%. In Illinois, Democrats about 56%. They have 82%. In New York, 58% vote Democrat of the voters, but 73% of those U.S. House seats go to Democrats. Compare that to Texas, where Republicans get about 58% of the vote and we have about 65%. So the plan is to draw a line that will more accurately reflect Republican voting in Texas. If we do this, if we pick up five Republican seats, again, give the voters of Texas, give those voters a fair line so that the conservatives can elect their candidates. If we do that and we pick up five seats, we'll still be below the partisan level of California, New York, Illinois. So all this hand-wringing and saying that we're doing some horrible partisan act is completely hypocritical. And as you know, legally, the legislature can do redistricting whenever it wants to. This is not the first time. When the Democrats controlled the Texas House back in the 90s, they frequently did redistricting during the middle of the decade, not just after the census. So this makes sense. Also, Jeff, when you consider that the way the Biden census was taken in 2020, there's evidence that red states like Texas were intentionally undercounted. So Texas would have picked up even more population and would have picked up more U.S. House seats. As you know, after the census, those U.S. House seats are moved around. Some states lose population, some states gain population. California is losing population. New York is losing population because they're running people off. When they lose population, enough people leave and those U.S. House seats get moved to other states. The Biden census, we believe, spiked that process against red states like Texas. So again, this is just going through the process that's allowed to us to make sure the voters of Texas are having their voices heard. That's what redistricting is about. It's a partisan process. And so that's what we're doing. And so the map has been passed by the House committee. And as you know, several Democratic members of the House left the state to deprive us of a quorum. In Texas, you have to have two-thirds present to do business. That's our quorum requirement in our Constitution. It's pretty high. So that means you, out of 150 members of the House, you need 100 to do business. Mm-hmm. Well, we have 88 Republicans and 62 Democrats. So if every Republican shows up, we still need 12 Democrats in the House to reach that 100-vote quorum to do business. That's what allows them to leave. So if enough Democrats stay gone, they can keep the House from doing business for the rest of this session. But Jeff, you know what's going to happen. If they do that and they kill this session, the governor will call us right back. They've tried this before. All they can do is delay. They cannot stop the will of the people of Texas.
Well, Senator Hughes, how long can they stay away? Can they just say, well, I'll just continue to hang out in Chicago or New York, whether it's 2 weeks or a month or 2 months?
What we've seen happen before, they did this in 2003 to stop redistricting. And at that time, the House Democrats went to Oklahoma. There were about 2 weeks left in the session. They stayed there for 2 weeks. They came home after the session ended. They came home returning heroes to they felt like. And the governor immediately called us back for another special session. When he did that, then the Democrats in the Senate, then they left, went to New Mexico, and they stayed for 30 days. They came back after the session ended, and the governor called us back. So we've seen this before. And so if they do stay for 2 weeks and kill this legislative session, the governor is just going to call us back. If they stay out of the state long enough, their seats can be declared vacant and new people elected to represent those districts. You can imagine, Jeff, Republican, Democrat, how would you feel if your voice, your representative, left the state rather than standing and fighting and speaking for you?
Senator Hughes, have Republicans ever done that? Fled like
Republicans,
that?
Republicans in Texas have not done this. It's interesting. This happened in the early 70s when the Democrats controlled the legislature, and then it was the conservative Democrats versus the liberal Democrats, and a group of more liberal Democrats called the Killer D's. They left to deprive the state of a quorum, and they hid out in some garage apartment in Austin. The police were looking for them because if you're a member of the legislature and you don't show up for work, you can be arrested and brought back to maintain a quorum. So they were hiding out in some garage apartment. That was the first time in modern history it's happened. That was in the 70s. That was liberal Democrats. And then in the 2000s, Democrats have done it twice. Jeff, the last time they did it was 2021, and I was kind of flattered they left because of a bill that I filed. You may recall Texas has always passed strong election integrity bills, and in 2021, Senate Bill 1 was my bill to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat, to crack down on people who are cheating, who are misleading voters, who are overcoming voters' will, who are taking advantage of first-time voters, elderly voters. So we cracked down on that. The Democrats hated that bill so much, they went to Washington, D.C. They stayed until the session ended. They came back. The governor called us back, and we passed the bill. We're not going to let them. They cannot take their marbles and go home and stop the will of the people of Texas. That's not going to happen.
Well, I saw this yesterday. Well, I saw it this morning, but it was, I think it happened yesterday. I wanted to get your comment on it.
Being 85 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails. The sergeant-at-arms and any officers appointed by her are directed to send for all absentees whose attendance is not excused for the purposes of securing and maintaining their attendance under warrant of arrest, if necessary, until further order of the House.
Okay, so those people can be arrested, but they're not going to go to Chicago and New York to arrest them, right?
So, Jeff, that's right. In the past, when the Democrats have done this, if they're in Texas, they're subject to arrest. So back in 2003, they went to Oklahoma because Oklahoma at that time had a Democratic governor, and they had worked with him ahead of time. And he told them, I will not cooperate with Texas law enforcement if they come to get you. Same in New Mexico. That's why in 2021 they went to D.C., and that's why this year they're going to California, New York, Chicago. They're going to liberal Democrat-controlled states where they don't respect the rule of law and where they will not honor that Texas law enforcement putting them under arrest. So in Texas, they are subject to arrest. But if they leave, it depends on the state they go to. So that's exactly right.
Well, so this is just a delay tactic. It's not going to prevail. Is it just all for show then on their part?
Jeff, it sure looks that way. The most recent example was back in 2021, and they went to Washington, D.C., and some of them testified before Congress and got on national TV, and I'm sure it was fun, and they're free to do that, but they had to come home. And when they came back to Texas, the governor called us back. It's clear Texas has a conservative majority. We should have a conservative majority that reflects that in our U.S. congressional delegation. And it's no secret, America voted for reform and for change and for conservative principles, and we can't let that be thwarted. So we're going to get this done. It's a delay. You said it well. It's a delay tactic at best.
All right, let me ask you this, Senator Hughes. When you think about Republican issues, Democrat, whether just the issues facing us, Republican and Democrat, you know, Trump has masterfully put the opposition in the 80-20 camp. I mean, they're supporting things that 20% of the country supports, or maybe even less than that, biological males and female sports and things like that. In the Texas Congress, do you see Democrats just going along with those national positions supporting lunacy?
Jeff, we see the same thing happening. You know, when we in Texas years ago, we said no men in women's locker rooms, no boys and girls sports. And we passed that. A few Democrats did vote with us, but the vast majority voted with their leadership, which is out of touch with America, as you say. We have a bill that we just had in our committee in the Texas Senate that says we're going to protect women in private spaces. So we're not going to have men in women's restrooms, not going to have men in girls' locker rooms. And that they make that a partisan issue. So it really is shocking. You said it very well. You and I have no people that are Democrats. I'm sure there are Democrats watching this. We have friends who are Democrats. But most real people back home who identify with Democratic Party do not support these radical ideas. Mm-hmm. And so as long as the Democratic leadership pushes this down America's throat, Republicans are going to keep winning.
Amen. All right, Senator Brian Hughes, I appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you for coming on Real Truth for today. And God bless you as you fight the good fight there in Austin. So thanks
Thankful
for coming
for you,
on.
Brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and that was Texas Senator Brian Hughes from District 1, and he has been in the Texas legislature for many years now, doing a great job, and I appreciate him coming on. We need to be praying. Texas is an important state, and we need to be praying for all our states, for our nation, that God would return us, or we would return to Him, and righteousness would prevail. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We have been talking to Texas Senator Brian Hughes, and I was thinking that he had to go, but he has another few minutes he can spend with us, so I appreciate him staying on. And Senator Hughes, we were talking about at the break other things that are important that Governor Abbott is tackling and the legislature needs to tackle, namely the abortion pill. And I've talked about it on our program, talked about it with you, talked about it with my good friend, Dr. Sudhir J. Aprabhu, who's a obstetrician gynecologist. And he said that this pill is really hurting women all over, and it's not controlled well at all. It's not doesn't have doctor's supervision. They just get it, you know, through the mail. And so what are we doing in Texas to try and protect our women and prevent this?
Oh, Jeff, you're so right. In the regular session just ended, the Senate passed Senate Bill 2880. That was my bill to do something about these pills. That bill didn't quite make it through the House. And so Governor Abbott, who's, of course, pro-life, added that to our agenda for the special session. In a special session that the governor calls, he sets the agenda so we can consider only the matters he gives us. So he wisely put this back on the agenda. And so you said it very well. You've covered this, and a lot of folks haven't been familiar with this process, but this abortion pill, it's a two-pill regimen. So it is a two-pill regimen. And so the first pill that the mom takes, it starves the little baby that's growing inside her womb. And then the second pill she takes causes that little baby to be expelled from her mother's body. And when this was first introduced, it required two doctor visits before the drug was administered, and it required those pills to be taken in the doctor's office, and it required a follow-up. Now, even in that situation, the little baby is losing her life, but those protections were there for the mom. But now, after Obama and Biden and COVID, there is no in-person doctor visit required ever. It can be done over the phone. It can be prescribed by someone who's not a doctor. And Jeff, as you said, the mom receives these pills in the mail. The mom goes online or calls a number or someone else sends them to her. She receives these pills in the mail. She takes the first pill and takes that second pill. Now, if the mom has an ectopic pregnancy, you know, the little baby is growing in the tube or in the wrong place, the mom won't know that unless she's been to the doctor. But if she's got an ectopic pregnancy and she takes that pill, it puts her in serious danger. She can die. Because when that tries to expel the baby. Also, if the mom's pregnancy is further along than she realizes, and if she hasn't been to the doctor, she won't know, takes that second pill, the baby is too large to be expelled from her mother's body, and the mom is in serious danger. Abortion is always dangerous for the little unborn baby, that precious one who we want to protect. But that mom, that mom who we love and support, who's been lied to, and it's scared and coerced, with these abortion pills, she's put in much greater danger. The numbers show us that she has a much higher risk of complications, higher risk of death, higher risk of ending up in the emergency room with these abortion pills. Now, Jeff, these are illegal in Texas. In 2021, we passed the heartbeat law. I was honored to carry that bill. And long before Roe was overturned, in Texas, we passed the strongest pro-life law in the country by God's grace, and the Supreme Court let it stand. So in 2021, most abortions ended in Texas except to save the life of the mother. Of course, for the life of the mother, we want to protect her. Then Roe versus Wade came along, and all the rest of the elective abortions except to save the life of the mother, those ended in Texas. And that is to say, when Roe versus Wade was overturned. Mm-hmm. So in Texas, mailing these pills to a woman to take to kill a little baby is against the law. But how do you enforce the law? So the bill that we're getting ready to file, The Senate already passed it once. It says we are going to use civil lawsuits. You know, Jeff, if you manufacture a dangerous product in Detroit and you sell it, and the law says if you inject that into the stream of commerce, it can end up anywhere in the country. And if you hurt someone with that product, even if you never set foot in another state, that product you sent to those other states, if it harms someone, you can be held liable. So that's what we're going to do. We're using that concept is called products liability. You know, a car made in Detroit, sent to Texas, those company may have never been to Texas, but if they send us a defective car to hurt someone, they are held accountable. This bill uses those principles, and it says, if you illegally mail those poison pills into Texas and they kill a little unborn baby, you can be held liable for wrongful death. If they harm or kill a mom, you're liable for her death or for the harm you caused her, and civil lawsuits. You can be sued in court, in state court, federal court, and made to give account. Jeff, if we do this, we want to make it where those companies that are poisonous pills and mailing them to Texas to kill little unborn babies and to hurt moms, we're going to make that very expensive for them to do in Texas. And we hope, we believe, if this takes effect, they will stop doing that. Now, again, if a mom's life's in jeopardy, she has a health emergency, of course, that mom has options in Texas. But if we're talking about taking the life of that little unborn baby growing inside her mother's womb, that's against the law, and we're going to enforce the law.
And Brian, it's one main company that's making that drug, or those two pills?
It's a company called Danco, and Jeff, believe it or not, they were formed by a nonprofit. You're old enough. Well, you're not old enough, but some of your listeners are old enough to remember RU486, that abortion pill regimen back in the Clinton years. And so they formed a nonprofit, formed this company at the time called PopCo. And that was short for population control. I know it sounds like I'm making this up, and you can look it up. The company changed its name to Danco, and they exist to make these drugs for the abortion pill. Now these two drugs that are put together in this two-step, horrible, deadly process. Now, there are other uses for those drugs that are not for abortions. And so our bill does not affect that at all. You know, some companies make those drugs for other purposes, and we're not after them. They have nothing to fear from this law in Texas. But those companies that are manufacturing and distributing these drugs that are killing little unborn babies and are hurting moms, they better be on notice.
Well, I'm glad you guys are tackling that. And those people, I don't know how anybody works for a company like that. And I don't know how anybody in politics could be for the killing of the unborn and putting mothers at risk and lying to them, saying that it's like taking a Tylenol pill. It's nothing like taking a Tylenol pill. It puts you at serious risk of dying. And women take that. That's
you're
horrible.
So right. And I know you've had the physicians on, and I don't want to be rude or talk about uncomfortable things, but if you don't mind, to make sure we're clear about what these pills do. The first bill stars a little baby, and then the second bill causes the little baby to be expelled from her mother's body. So Jeff, we've heard testimonies from moms, testified before the committee. We've read other testimony where moms talk about being alone in their bathrooms, in their homes, taking that second pill, and that little unborn baby, you can just imagine what that must be like for a mother, alone, scared, not knowing what's going to happen, to have to go through that process. It's unspeakable. Killing the baby is horrible, and doing that to the mom, Jeff, you're right. It's hard to stomach that. And if people, I just hope people who support this, they probably don't know what's involved. Surely if they knew what was happening, they wouldn't support this.
Well, I hope that goes well, and we in Texas do exactly what you guys want to do. Let's shift gears, Brian, and talk about the Kerrville floods and where we stand as a state in helping those people.
Thank you, Jeff. You'll recall over that 4th of July weekend, just an unprecedented flood, and the waters rose about 20 feet in 30 or 40 minutes. And so, you know, there were folks, families camping, there were folks at summer camp. I know in the evangelical community, we're big on summer camp, right? A lot of us did that growing up. Our kids and grandkids do that. And so we lost a number of adults and children in those floods. The waters rose so quickly. Mm-hmm. There are warning systems in place, but they're not working. They're not enough. And so the main reason the governor called us back into special session is to make sure that we have warnings in place, make sure we have resources. The good news is Texas has a very strong emergency management system, and so we're there to help in communities needed. But that's part of what this special session is for. While we're here, while we were called here to do something about warning the next time there's a flood or a natural event like this, and also making sure those communities have what they need to rebuild, to get folks back in their homes. And that's also taking place this special session. And Jeff, not to be too pedantic, but that was also stopped in the House when our Democratic friends left and deprived mm-hmm. us of a quorum. So it's important.
Brian, what is the state of the city of Austin these days as it relates to law enforcement?
So the city of Austin is a beautiful city, a lot of history. Of course, our capital is here. It's a nice place in many ways. Unfortunately, the voters in Austin continue to elect city leaders that are just out of step with, I'm sorry, but I'm going to generalize, but as a rule, they're out of step with Texas values and really just with reality. And so mm-hmm. they refuse to deal with the homeless problem, and they put policies in place ostensibly to help homeless people, but they just encourage more and more people to live on the streets and to camp under overpasses and to live on sidewalks. And so the state of Texas was had to pass statewide laws just so we can do something about Austin. And it's working. It's working. And Jeff, we've considered everything. We've thought about taking Austin and making it like the District of Columbia, where it's how Washington, D.C. is not really part of any state. It's its own
right.
It's its own district, and the Congress takes care of it. We thought about doing that. Should we have the state make those law enforcement decisions for the city of Austin? We've grappled a lot of these things. Again, many nice people live here, and this is where tourists come. This is where mm-hmm. folks come to visit the Capitol and meet their legislators. So it needs to be a safe, welcoming place, and there's some real problems. We've passed some state laws to deal with it. And Jeff, on homelessness, we're doing innovative things. We're not just looking to lock up people who are homeless. We want to get them help, give them what they need, get them in homes, but we cannot have policies that encourage them to live on the streets and to sleep under bridges and to accost people. You know that. So mm-hmm. the city of Austin, sadly, does not have policies that are helpful, so the state of Texas is having to step in, and we're getting it done.
Senator Hughes, let me ask you about the work of ICE, and that's been in big-time national news, and Tom Holman and what they're doing. How has that affected the state of Texas?
Jeff, as you know, we have the largest piece of the U.S.-Mexico border. If you look at the border between the U.S. and Mexico, 60% of that is in Texas. You know that well, and everybody does from looking at the map. And so we have faced the brunt of illegal immigration for years and years and years. As you know, Texas gave up on the feds, and we began building our own wall. And, you know, we've had Texas Highway Patrol, Texas Game Wardens. We have boats on the Rio Grande River. We have helicopters, planes, balloons, cameras. We've spent several billion dollars in Texas tax dollars to secure the border because the feds would not. By the way, we're getting some of that money back as part of the Big Beautiful Bill. We're thankful mm-hmm. for that. But as far as ICE goes, we do have a large population of folks who are here illegally. And so, yes, our local law enforcement cooperates with ICE. We passed Senate Bill 8 this session that requires every sheriff, all 254 sheriffs in Texas, to cooperate with ICE. And when folks mm-hmm. are in their jail who are here illegally, they cooperate and those folks are turned over to ICE. As you know, ICE is also going out into the community and looking for folks here illegally. And you know, the idea is to focus on criminals, people who are mm-hmm. breaking the law, who are violent. There are plenty of those, certainly, to round up, and they're doing a good job of that. But there's still work to do. America, as you know, is a land of opportunity. Folks are welcome to come here. We're a nation of immigrants, but we come in the front door and we mm-hmm. follow the law. Then we assimilate and we become Americans. And so that's what we're getting back to. And that's encouraging. Now that the Trump administration is enforcing the border, we've been able to send those, bring those highway patrolmen home and put those resources somewhere else. And so, yes, we are cooperating with ICE, going after criminals, dangerous felons who are here illegally, and making sure they are not breaking the law in Texas.
Brian, we have a couple of minutes left. As you assess Donald Trump's first 6 months in office and how that has had ripple effects on all the states, how has that helped the state of Texas?
So encouraging. You know, the border is probably number one. The billions of dollars we were spending on border security, we're no longer having to take Texas tax dollars to spend on the border. So that is saving our taxpayers, Texas taxpayers, literally billions of dollars. And of course, doing something about inflation, pulling inflation down affects every family. Jeff, you know, after the Biden years, Jeff, how are working people buying groceries? You and I are not wealthy folks. We know it's hard for us. How are people buying groceries? So get this economy, growing this economy, getting inflation down, it's affecting every family in Texas and in America. So it's a big deal. We're thankful. Also, in Texas, we are taking seriously the threat from our hostile foreign adversaries. And love to visit with you about that sometime. All the bills Texas passed to protect our people from the communist Chinese government, and the Trump administration is helping us tremendously on that as well. So in so many ways, Texans are better off. Whoever folks voted for, everybody is better off this administration. We're thankful.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's been Texas State Senator Brian Hughes, a wonderful guy and loves the Lord and is fighting for good things in Texas. So, Senator Hughes, God bless you. We're praying for you, and may God use you in great ways, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Thankful for you.
All right. You're listening to Real Truth for Today here on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment on something we've been talking about with Senator Hughes or another subject, we're kind of wide open. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. As you know, on American Family Radio, it is Truth for Youth Bible Week, August 4th through the 8th. And we want to ask you, our listeners, to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. We had Tim Todd, who is the founder of Revival Fires International and came up with this Truth for Youth Bible 25 years ago. But it's a Bible that is very appealing to students. It has colored comics in there that speak of abortion and homosexuality and transgenderism, pornography, issues of the day. And so here's the thing. The goal is to get 65,000 Bibles into the hands of teens across America. Parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter, or teens can call to get one. You can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. So one Bible is free, but if you want to order more, It's just $2 each. So two ways to get your free Bible. Visit TFY, stands for Truth for Youth, tfy.org, and you can order online anytime or call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. And so help us with this outreach. You know, as I talked to Tim Todd on Monday, when kids encounter the Word of God, when they start reading the Word of God, God's Word is, reading the Bible is not like reading any other book, because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Adrian Rogers says, when you read the Bible is reading you, because the Bible is alive and it has the breath of God on it. So if we can get the Word of God into the hands of teenagers, and let's face it, when do most people come to Christ? At what age? It's in those teenage years that we can make the biggest impact on people's lives. So we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, love to hear from you. And we have Stan on the line from Mississippi. Stan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks, Pastor Jeff. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I enjoy your program immensely.
Thank you, brother.
I just have a question about Israel. It seems that we have developed an attitude in the country that because of the Abrahamic promise that God would bless those that blessed Abraham's seed and curse those that cursed Abraham's seed, it just seems like the Christians are put over a barrel. You can't preach Christianity on the streets of Jerusalem without being attacked by Jews. It's illegal. They call you an idolater. And I just wonder if those promises that were made included, say, King Herod. If King Herod was the leader of Israel today, would we blindly support Israel like we do? What about King Saul when he was chasing David and trying to kill him and losing his mind? Was he included in that representation of the Abrahamic covenant to the Jewish people, or was he outside of that covenant by acting the way he did and breaking God's law? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Stan. Good question. Well, obviously, if you have somebody like a King Herod that is killing Jews, he killed all those babies in Bethlehem. He was a psychotic person and paranoid Floyd and evil to the core. He was no friend to Israel, called himself the King of the Jews, but he was no friend to Israel at all. The famous report from history, when he died, he wanted them to round up some of the leaders in Israel and kill them so that there would be mourning on the day of his death. They didn't do that, but that's what he wanted. So, you wouldn't support that. And if you had a leader in Israel that was going against the laws of God, you wouldn't support that. But we support Israel as a nation and Israel as a people, the Jews as a people, because of what God said to Abraham. I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That doesn't mean that Israel never does anything wrong as a nation or as a people. Obviously, they did a lot wrong. They rejected their Messiah. When Jesus came, the religious leaders said he's a Samaritan and has a demon. He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And so they were 100% wrong on Jesus. And when Pilate said, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Let him be crucified. Shall I crucify your king? They said, we have no king but Caesar. And obviously that was a very horrible decision that they made, not this man, but Barabbas, and his blood be upon us and our children. Well, the Israeli people have suffered tremendously because of that. But when you think about what's going on in that part of the world, Israel is surrounded by Arabs, Muslims, who want to destroy them, who consider Israel the little Satan and America the great Satan. So in that conflict, it would make no sense that you would support the Muslims because they're those like Hamas, it's totally irrational. Hamas just exists to destroy Israel. And as it was Dennis Prager that said, you know, if you want peace in the Middle East and Israel and the Muslims laid down their arms and said, we're not going to attack anymore, there would be peace in the Middle East because Israel is not the aggressor. But if Israel said, we don't want war anymore, we're going to lay down our weapons, what would happen? They would all get together and attack Israel by the end of the day. They are committed to their destruction. So I believe that is the difference. And we in America need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded in Scripture, Psalm 122, verse 6, to do that. You know, as you said, they don't allow you to preach Christ in Israel. I've been in Israel. The Israelis, the Jews there are very welcoming of Christians. That was my experience. Mike Huckabee is his personal friend, and he's the ambassador to Israel, and he has nothing but love and admiration in his heart for the Jewish people there in Israel. So they are definitely a friend to America, and we need to be a friend to them. So that's my take on that. Well, I appreciate the call. We have Jeremy on the line from Mississippi. Jeremy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to add a little more to what the previous caller had been talking about. I know you just responded to him. I would also like to respond.
Okay.
We are not the ones who are responsible for keeping up with God's promise to Israel. However, we are responsible for what we do in response to them. Now, I understand we are called to support Israel 100%. And we are also, and people say, well, we can't support them completely because of their leadership. But there are people who say they can't support their own country we're living in now because of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't like the leaders does not mean that you do not support the country. And people seem to think that if you don't like the leader, then the country is worthless. And if we don't like the leader, then we can just ignore everything going on in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's short-sighted for people who say, well, it's not our problem. We're not supposed to necessarily be the ones to take care of all of Israel's needs and everything. It's not about that. It's about we love them because God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we're supposed to love Christians. As Christians, we're supposed to love people because
right.
God loves them.
Right.
We have to provide the same opportunity for Israel as we would provide for anybody else. And it's as simple as that. I mean, we have to provide because we are a Christian nation, whether people want to still claim it much or not. We were founded on Christian ideals, which were based, if you look at the original documents, were based on Old Testament ideals for the land of Israel that they were supposed to be doing.
Right.
And while they may not have always done what they were supposed to be doing, neither do Christians.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, I agree, Jeremy. I appreciate that. Those are good points that you make. And we need to support Israel. And why would you support the Muslims that are wanting to destroy, ultimately, they want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy America. Iran wants to destroy Israel, wants to destroy America. You don't side with those guys in the conflict. You see what Hamas did to Israel on October 7th. That is just evil and demonic. And siding with those guys is siding with Satan. It makes no sense at all. So I appreciate that. Appreciate your comments. We have Shelley on the line from Texas. Shelley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. So I just have a little story to tell about my husband's grandmother. Her name was Bubby Bella, and she walked across Russia carrying her sewing machine in order to get away from the pogroms that were slaughtering Jews in every inch of the country. And the term that they used as they were slaughtering them and the slur that they used against her as she walked across Russia was that she was a Christ killer. Mm. And the thing that makes that blood libel is that not all of the Jews rejected Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have our scriptures because Matthew, Mark, and John believed right. Jesus was the Messiah. Nicodemus believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's not that the entire culture or the entire nation of Israel rejected Jesus. But as in any culture, we all get that choice. Are we going to believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Are we going to reject him? And each one of us lives and dies and stands based on that decision that we make. Mm-hmm. And so it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross, and the Jews and the Gentiles worked together to yes. do that.
Oh, well, well said, Shelley. You know, that's exactly right. So who crucified Jesus? I've heard it said in sermons when it comes down to it, who crucified Jesus? Well, you and I did because it was our sin. Ultimately, it was God the Father who sent his Son, and Jesus willingly said, I will take the sin of the world upon myself. And it was God the Father who crucified God the Son. And it tells us that in Isaiah 53. And so he did that because he loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you and me and every other person that's ever been created. For he so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I appreciate the call, Shelley. That is really well said. And we need to keep that in mind. So, and you know, the Bible is clear. The way I read the Bible, God is not done with Israel, Romans chapter 11. I am a dispensationalist, and the Lord is dealing right now in the church age, and one day the last person is going to pray to receive Christ, and the Lord is going to take the church out of here. It's called our blessed hope, and he's going to come and rapture the church, and then the focus is going to be back on Israel, and during the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 7, you have the 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe in Israel that are going to be sealed with the seal of God, and they're going to be like the Apostle Paul, 144,000 Apostle Pauls unleashed on the world, sharing the good news of Jesus, and even in the midst of wrath, because the tribulation period is the wrath of God being poured out on a Christ-rejecting, unbelieving world, even in the midst of wrath, there is grace. And don't ever get the idea that the Holy Spirit is not working during the tribulation period. He is, because no one can be saved without the Holy Spirit convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. So although the church is raptured out, the restrainer is removed, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is still at work, and many, many, many will be saved during the tribulation. So thank you for that, Shelley, and thank you for all those who have called in today. And listen, let me just encourage you with this. Your prayers make a difference. And the Bible says that in Isaiah 59, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. We need to be praying for America. We need to be praying for revival to hit America. Good things are happening politically, from a righteousness standpoint, but unless the hearts of men and women are changed, nothing will really change. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.